Victory in Grace proudly presents the following message in the Proverbs series by Dr. James A. Scudder, founder and senior pastor of the Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church.
Learn to be a lean machine. Learn to be a lean machine. And I think when we get done with this message, you'll think that's a very appropriate title. Point one, it's better than a pill. You know, the only real pill is the gospel. That's good, isn't it? Okay, amen. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When we learn to keep the laws of God, as you're going to see through this whole message, when we learn to obey, and when God does bring things in our life to chasten us or discipline us, and we accept it, we're going to learn wisdom and we're going to learn to be a lean machine. Forget not. That implies something has been taught and we don't want to forget it. And the word peace, now all of us know that Hebrew word for peace, shalom. We go to Israel, shalom, peace. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, shalom. Shalom. We know that word. It says, my son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. So they add to thee. You know, does that mean everyone that serves Christ will have a long life? No, it does not. But it means in principle, the people that serve Christ will have a longer life than those that don't. Okay? It says that. That's what it means. The word peace means safe, you'll have safety, you'll be well, you'll be happy, you'll have friends, you'll have prosperity, you'll have favor, you'll have good health. Now, that means that none of us will ever have bad health. No, it doesn't. Again, the principle is you'll have better health than those that don't lean on Christ. That's what it means. You know, they were asking some of these young children, they said, why does the fire department have a Dalmatian dog? You know, most fire departments have a mascot of a Dalmatian dog. And these kids had different ideas. One says it to keep the crowds away. That makes sense, I guess. The other, they said it's for good luck. Well, we as Christians don't believe in good luck. We believe that all things are appointed by God. It's okay to say that, though. Don't, again, like I was saying this morning, don't go around correcting everybody for everybody that says something you don't totally agree with, okay? Just, God doesn't want us to be obnoxious, okay? I just throw that in. I don't know why I throw that in, because there's some people who just do that. And then the third kid said, well, it's obvious they have the dog to find the fire hydrants for the firemen. And you're going, oh boy. See, nothing men or women forget sooner, or boys and girls, than the divine commands. You know, if I could just preach one sermon or two sermons or 10 sermons and we would never forget it, wouldn't that be wonderful? But we do forget. And it says, don't forget. Make yourself not to forget. He delights, and we're to delight in the law of God. In Psalms 1:2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You say, but we're not under the law. We're not under the law as Moses had it, but we're under the in-law. We are in-lawed. In-lawed to Christ. The law now is in us, and we can now have the joy of following the law. When you have rules, if rules bother you, there's something wrong with you. There's people that have gone to churches that have stricter rules than we have. And they've said, Pastor, I said, if you're serving Christ, the rules will not bother you, and obey the church that you're in. Obey it. But it's different. It doesn't matter. You're in-lawed. You're in-lawed. If you don't have rules and regulations, we'll wind up being without peace or comfort or joy or anything else. But now we have the ability to keep the law because the law is now in us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We're in-lawed to Christ. Length of days, long life, a blessing, you know, and they said in the Jewish dispensation, but I think it's a blessing in any dispensation, don't you? You know, you say, well, don't you want to go to heaven? Yes, I do. I can't wait to go to heaven, but I want to live. Why? Because I want to win people to Christ. That's why Paul said, man, to die is gain, but to live is better for you. And I'm in betwixt and between. I don't know what to do. He said, I want to go to be with the Lord, but I want to live. And that's how all of us ought to be. We all should be that way and want to be that way. But I think it's a blessing in any dispensation. Righteousness tends to life as much now as ever. Other things being equal, we will live the longest who lives the best. Now, that doesn't mean that the most dedicated person in all the world doesn't die at 20. That doesn't mean that, because God in His plan sometimes has that happen. One of our men who's a year or so, a couple of years ago, lost a wife, and he said to me today, he said, Pastor, it's so hard. And it is. It is hard. It's never easy. But we still have that great joy of knowing that day's coming where we're all going to be together. That great day's coming. One of our dear ladies that's about ready to go to be with the Lord, and she said, you know, I'm ready to go home. Well, you are home. No, I mean my real home. Isn't that good? I'm ready to go home. I think we all are kind of ready to go home. The peace of man who hearkens to God is like a river. It gets broader and deeper as you get closer to the sea. It gets broader and deeper as you get closer to the sea. That river, you know, the Mississippi starts out shallow. Many of us will probably even go there this year to the headwaters of the Mississippi. And then as it gets closer to the sea, it gets wider and deeper. Our Christian life should be such as we grow, we go through the hard times, we go through the times it's very difficult. Sometimes it's so hard. But if we get through that, we're going to get to where it's broader and it's deeper. And that's what's very, very important. That it gets to that point that it gets broader and it gets deeper. In Isaiah 48, 18, and thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Comparing the peace. When we sing peace like a river, I don't know if all of you are like this, but I like to be around water. Now, some of you say, well, I don't like to be on the water, but I like to be around the water. That's okay, but I like water. I like water. I like to be around it. I like to be on it. I like to drink it. Without it, we wouldn't last very long, would we? And that's what God says the peace is like. You can go and be around water, and no matter how, you know, and I'm sure some of you feel really hard sometimes. You go through heartaches and hardships, and you're in the ripples. You're in the currents, and you're in the hard times. But just remember, we're going to get closer and closer to the river as it gets into the sea. Just remember that. And that's one of the great things that will give us comfort and peace. The mind of God is goodwill toward all people. And those who will be godlike will have the most and the same mind as God. The earthly rewards of wisdom. The fruit of righteousness is a long life and prosperity. That mean I'm going to be rich? No, but it means that He's going to give you prosperity. There's more things than just riches as far as money. Now remember that. If anybody could ever tell me that any man could be more blessed than my two children and my grandchildren and my son-in-law and daughter-in-law, I just don't think it's possible. There's some of you equally as blessed, but I don't believe there's anybody more blessed. And when I see the kids and I hear some of your children and they're witnessing to people on airplanes and they're young and they're telling people about Christ, and that just excites me to no end. I don't know how to tell you how that excites me. So these are the things of the earthly rewards, and the penalty of sin is premature destruction. Earthly substance. It's necessary for the use of our bodies, but we're to make a more nobler use, and we're to worry about our spirits more than we're to worry about our outside bodies. We're to worry about our spirits And that's what we need to really be careful of. We're to honor the Lord, that making no use of any part of what God gives us until we make a contribution to God. Whatever He gives increase, we need to give the first part of it to Him. We need to say, God, You bless me, and now here it is. I want to bless You and give to God. You say, well, God doesn't need it. But see, God has allowed us to get blessings by giving it. And that's what we need to do. A happy life is extended to old age. Lovers of wisdom and riches and honor are given the same length of days and happiness as we get older. You know, I see so many people, and I see them down in Florida and all around. They're just not happy that don't have Christ, not serving Him. Those that do have Christ, they're happy, that are serving Him. Now, you can have Christ and not serve Him, and you won't be happy. But you need to have Christ and serve Him. Now, listen, this may be a shock to you, but there's a pleasure in self-denial. When you deny self, and you're a truth seeker, and you deny self, and you will see there is tremendous blessings in self-denial. Denying of self. And sometimes you say, oh, I just can't. I can't. But there is great blessings in self-denial. There's a story, and this is told to be a true story. And I believe in my heart it is a true story, but I cannot guarantee that it's a true story. But I believe it is. A preacher had a cat that got stuck in a tree. He had milk and he did everything he could, and the cat wouldn't come down. And the preacher wanted to get his cat down, so he devised this great idea, and he tied a rope to the tree and tied the rope to his car bumper, and he was going to pull the tree down low enough and then go over there and get the cat out of the tree. The problem is, just as he was getting it low enough, the rope broke, and the cat went somewhere. He was horrified. He hunted everywhere for the cat. He went, even knocked on neighbors' doors and asked everybody, put out posters, couldn't get the cat. About a week later, he meets a lady in his church, and she's buying cat food, and she's an avowed cat hater. He says, Sister so-and-so, why are you buying cat food? He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. We have a cat. You have a what? Pastor, I know I hate cats. I've always hated cats. I can't stand cats. My daughter has prayed and prayed for a cat. And I said, well, only if God sends it will I give you a cat. We'll let you. But if God sends it, you can keep it. She said, Pastor, before God, this is what happened. She said, my daughter went outside and she's down on her knees. And she said, I want you to send a cat from heaven. And Pastor, this is the truth. That cat came flying in with like this. And there's no way am I going to send that cat back. Because it was sent from God. He never told the woman. That was a cat from heaven. That's supposed to be true. Again, I can't totally verify it, but it is told as a true story. And you know, I have seen children's prayers are always answered better than our prayers, because children have a sweeter prayer life than we do, don't they? Now, have you all seen that? I've seen that. Like the kid that said, if you want to get a cat or a dog, start asking for a pony. The kids are a lot smarter than you think they are. Listen, let me tell you something else. There's peace in fighting the Lord's battles. There's peace in fighting the Lord's battles. You know, there's a man, and he was a taxidermist, and he got tired of it. So he decided to go to veterinarian school and become a veterinarian. So he went and he became a veterinarian. And he was just tired of being a taxidermist. But then he decided to combine the two, be a veterinarian and a taxidermist. And his new slogan was, bring your cat in, no matter what happens, you will keep the cat. That's pretty good, isn't it? But that's what we're talking about today. No matter what happens, when we serve Him, we will be blessed. Proverbs 3:3-4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Those two are together. I call those the twin towers. Mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about their neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thy find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth are a pair. They lodge together or they leave together. The word mercy is kindness, it's piety, it's reproof, it's beauty, it's favor, it's good deeds, it's kindly, it's kindness, it's pity, mercy. The word truth is emet in the Hebrew. It's talking about stability and certainty, trustworthiness, assured. So let's put it together. Mercy and truth are a pair that will be together. Rarely, beauty, favor, trustworthiness. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, believe everything that God says and also trust His mercy. Trust His mercy. Boy, don't ever ask God to get what you deserve. Don't ever pray, God, give me what I deserve, because He gives us what we deserve. We're all dead, aren't we? We're like that cat. Phew. Can you imagine what that must have been, those claws? I was reading a thing about how to clean a cat. Clean your toilet bowl very clean. Put your soap in. Put the cat in. Flush 3 times, maybe 4. When you open the lids, make sure the lids are tight. Make sure there's nobody between you and the door. Stand as far back from the toilet as possible when you open it. And then open the thing. The cat will dry his or herself off as they get outside. So you don't have to worry about the drying process. This was given by and signed by the dog. I saw that last night and I said, Linda, what do you think? She said, it's pretty funny. I said, but people might get mad about that. She said, it is pretty funny. So if you don't like it, talk to my wife. It was pretty funny. But don't do that. That's just a joke. I can just see someone doing that. To behave under God's providence. We are warned against despising the rebukes that God gives us. God gives us rebukes in our life, and we were warned not to despise it. To accept it and say, whatever you're doing, God, I'm going to praise you for this, just like I said this morning. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to thank you in everything. I'm going to constantly praise you. I'm going to pray, and I want to be thankful. That's what God wants us to be, and that's what this is saying. All the exercises, all the privileges, all the hopes of Christianity are full of pleasure. To be leading and enjoying such a life in youth is one of God's greatest blessings. The word heart in the Hebrew is lab, and it's for the feelings, the will, the intellect. See, the word heart doesn't mean pump. You've heard me say this. It's center of everything. It refers to mind. The word heart in the Hebrew refers to your mind. But it's more than just your mind. It's your innermost feelings. When you say to your future wife or husband, I love you with all my heart, you don't mean your pump. You mean your innermost being. That's what it's saying here. That's what we're supposed to do. Our understanding, wisdom. The word understanding is shekel, and it means intelligence, success, discretion, prudence, understanding, wisdom. This is what God wants to give us. Point 3 is don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Now, I want to get it across more than anything else tonight. I want to get it across. Don't trust yourself. If you trust yourself, you're going to be in a problem. I would trust my leaders before I'd trust myself. I would trust my good friend that's serving Christ more than I'd trust myself. That's why, you know, and you've heard this over and over, that's why attorneys that have any brains don't defend themselves. Because we're not good at defending ourselves. Look at Proverbs 3:5. And this is the key verse of the whole Proverbs chapter 3. This is the key verse. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. That's what you're supposed to do. Lean not unto thine own understanding. When I said learn to be a lean machine, we need to learn to lean. That song we sing, learning to lean. Trust is to have your confidence in God, to be sure. And it's another word I like. It's talking about to be bold. To be bold in God. To say, I trust you, God, and I believe in my whole heart that you are worthy of trust. Listen, I'll guarantee you one thing. I may let you down and have let you down. You may let me down, but God's never let me down, and he's never let you down. If you think God let you down, it's not because God let you down. It's only because you think he did, because he didn't. All thy heart, the word all thine, it's the same word that we have for coal. Spelled differently, but coal. Whole, all together, everyone, whatsoever. In other words, all parts of our being, with all thine heart, to trust our God. You know, there's so many things out there. There's so many things that are destructive today. You know, it's never been harder ever to serve Christ with so many things in the world today. Afflictions may be despised if we don't devalue what God does in our life. Weariness under divine correction is another fault. You know, God brings things in our lives sometimes. He says, I know you're going to need this. I want to make you a better person. I have to bring certain things in our lives, things that we don't want to have. But without them, we're never going to be what God wants us to be. We're never going to get closer to that ocean and that river and never have that peace like a river, because we're going to be stuck up there in the headwaters instead of getting into the waters going into the ocean. And sometimes we go through times that are the hardest imaginable. Some of you are going through that right now, through loved ones that are sick, through other things that are happening in your family. At this point in your life, you say, there's no way I can get through this. Well, I don't know how you're going to get through it, but I promise you this, there is a way to get through it. I promise you there is a way to get through it. You might come to me and I might not tell you how to do it, but there is a way to do it. That's how we get our hope. No ingredient is poured, I want you to get this, into the cup of affliction, except it is put there by God. No ingredient is ever put in our cup of affliction unless it's put there by God. You say, what if I deserve it? That doesn't matter. Everything God does for us, even if we deserve it, is still there to help us. God loves us so much that everything that he does is there just to totally help us. We're to esteem wisdom and earnestly pursue it. All the treasures, and you've heard me preach this in many sermons, in Philippians and Colossians and now Thessalonians, all wisdom is in Christ. All wisdom. And as we learn, as we come sermon after sermon, church service after church service, and we have a chance to learn that wisdom God wants us to have. The Lord is a sure ground of confidence in the worst of times. When we're going through the hardest times that we could ever go through. The word lean is sha'an. Learn to be a lean machine. Sha'an is to support oneself, lean, lie, rely, rest, stay. Learn to lean. Learn to support oneself on Christ. And we have to learn it. It's just not natural. We have to learn it. My law. Godliness is associated with our faith in God. Trust in the Lord is the secret of safety, of happiness, and of spiritual prosperity. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. You know, look at Abraham Lincoln, the great man that we owe so much to. Illinoisan that came from Kentucky. He was a rail splitter, a storekeeper, a bargeman, a lawyer, member of the state legislature, a congressman, and president of the United States. But in every position, no matter what he held, he acknowledged God. Abraham Lincoln acknowledged God. Now they're trying to make even Abraham Lincoln look bad, aren't they? George Washington. Anybody that was a good Christian, they're going to try to destroy anymore. Gain is not always godliness, but godliness is always gain. You get that? Gain is not always godliness, but godliness is always gain. We are taught to look for the fruit of righteousness in long life and prosperity, and in sin, premature destruction. Premature destruction. You know, the average age is getting older and older. Quite amazing, isn't it? Average age is getting older and older. We are accustomed to dwell on the promised joys of the future world. But friends, godliness has a promise in this life. Don't just believe it's going to be for the next life. I just wish I could get it across how blessed I am and how wonderful it is. Now, I know sometimes you say, but I'm not. Well, you will be. Just hang in, keep praying, and don't give up. God is still in charge. God is still on the throne, and we're not to give up. I've seen miracles happen before, and we're going to see miracles happen again. I want you to think on that. But I want you to think of the joys we have now. The universe extends far beyond our finite imagination. And that's are the things that God wants us to have as we learn to lean and be a lean machine. To be persuaded that He's able to give us counsel, peace of mind, cheerfulness of temper. He can give the most wicked, rottenest person in this church a great temper. Not a bad temper, but a good temper. A good temperament, I should say. Transfer all anxiety from the human spirit to the strong Spirit of God, and that's what's going to do more to help your longevity. We all know, every doctor will tell you, everybody, everything you read, you're a lot better off when you don't worry about every little thing. God's going to give you rest. He's going to protect us. As we lie down to go to sleep, He will give His people rest. You don't have to be petrified and afraid and scared and all this. We have our God to look out for us and to protect us. The life in God is a healthy life. And it's not less healthy because the outward man decays, but the mortality has been swallowed up of life. Now, here's the thing. We need to denounce our own judgments. So many times we think, well, here's the better way. Pastor says this, here's a better way. This one says this, my teacher says this, but here's a better way. You better denounce your own ways and follow the ways of God. Obey them that have rule over you. And God says to do it in all things. Why? Because He knows that will help you. Down in this old world, you can't serve Christ without serving Him through a local church. It's very hard to anyway. Can't do it as good. I guess you can do it, but not as good. The afflictions are things that are going to help us to bring us into subjection to God. Reliance is a duty. But it cannot be exercised by the wicked. The wicked cannot be blessed by God. Those who will not serve God put no confidence in God, and they fear Him because they love Him not. If you don't love God, you're not going to want to serve God. You're going to fear God. You don't love God if you don't want to serve Him. You need to love Him, and that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to love Him. So obedience to God is naturally accompanied with reliance on God. You know what God wants? And this is really true. God says, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. He wants us to be obedient to Him. There is a legitimate using of the understanding that is not chargeable with leaning to it. We're to depend on God for success, trust in His promises of His Word, and take and believe in His overruling discretion in everything in our life. As I've said over and over, He's not just the ruler, He's the overruler. And as He brings things in our life to make us better, we have to learn to lean. And say, Lord, this is hard, but I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to lean on You, even though I don't understand it, but I'm going to lean on You. And sometimes you go and you say, I had a couple people last week, and they said, Pastor, I finally have learned that I have to go to the Lord with my problems. And Pastor, as I've learned to do that, God has blessed me so tremendously, I can't even tell you how great it's been. That's what it means. Learn to lean. The danger of following our own wishes. Can you imagine if we let our children do what they wished? They would eat all the candy. No matter, hey, this is not good for your health. Doesn't matter. They're going to eat nothing but candy and cake and ice cream and soda pop. And if you're a good parent, you're not going to let them do that. You're not going to let them have all the candy they want, and all the pop they want, and all the cake they want, and all the things they want. You're not going to do that. You're going to let them have it in moderation, but you're not going to let them have all that they want. It's danger in following our own wishes. We could poison ourselves and do poison ourselves. The cup that we clutch is sweeter than honey becomes bitter. When we do our own understanding, it's like if a person just starts eating a bunch of honey and just eating honey and eating honey and eating honey, and honey's good for you. And you should have a little bit of honey, but shouldn't have too much. And if you eat too much of honey, what'll happen? You'll get sick. And it becomes very bitter. It becomes horrible. And you don't want to have too much honey. And that's the thing. We take our own understanding. And you may think it's good, but in the end, it's going to be like too much honey, and it's going to make you sick. So that's not what you're supposed to do. And that's not what God wants us to do. So the danger from following our own wishes is just tremendous. I've often said, and you know I've said, that we can find every answer to life's perplexities in the Word and seeking godly counsel. And that comes from the Word also. Every question of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not on yourself. Lean on God. See, the way I look at a situation is so different than the way God looks at a situation when we're flying on our little plane and we're up in the air and we're looking down upon the people. And Friday night, we flew right over Chicago. And as we're coming in right over Chicago and we're looking down, and you're looking at the peacefulness of it, and you're saying, how could someone get murdered in that peaceful-looking city? How could there be an accident in those little tiny cars? They're about that big. And how could that be an accident? And you're looking at it from heavenly perspective, and you say, how could there be an accident? And you know what? That's how God sees things. We see it as we just look at this little chunk of space and we don't see the big picture. Friends, we need to start learning to see the big picture. That's what we need to start doing. We need to learn what that big picture is. So the way I look at a situation is far different than the way God looks at a situation. If I take actions in my life based upon the way I see the situation, my life will be all over the map. It'll be over here, over here, over here. We have to learn to lean. We have to learn to lean and to be a lean machine. We have to be the person that leans not on our own selves, but on Christ. Leaning on God. Taking our problems of our troubled spirit and putting it in His non-troubled spirit. And say, God, I need You. I need Your help. I need You every hour. I have to have You. And that's what we need to learn to do. But if I choose to trust God, my path is straight. My path is straight. I know where I'm going. I got me a GPS for the car, and it's helping me to find my way. And if I go to a hospital, I punch in the hospital. and it takes me out to Sherman Hospital or Northwest Community Hospital to see Don, and I can get right there. If I need to go to some place I've never been, never heard of, I punch in the address, and it tells me, it says, okay, dum-dum, get ready and follow my instructions. Go down to the highlighted route and turn right. Go 1.7 miles. And then it starts telling you at 0.5, get ready. 0.3, it's getting closer. And then you got 500 feet. So I had to have the dumb one. You know, some of them aren't quite that detailed. Okay, now turn right or left. And it even tells you what lane to get in. I like that. I just had to go to Aurora, and it said, okay, stay in the left lane. I like that. Okay, now move to the right lane. Make sure that you don't pull on any oncoming traffic. Look in your mirror. Make sure and it's safe. Boy, this is driving for dummies. And I can find where I'm going. Oh, this thing's good. I mean, you can even take it with you and walk down the street. Tells you, okay, you're close to the door you're supposed to turn into. Turn left right now. And be careful if it's a revolving door. Make sure you don't get stuck in it. You know, it says everything. You say, which one is that? I want to get that one. Well, I've exaggerated a little bit. Not much. It is pretty nice. And I'm not going to tell you what kind I got, because you probably have another kind and like it too, because they're all good, I think. Learn to lean. Learn to lean. But not on yourselves. You have to stop learning to lean on self and to learn to lean on Christ. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. Look over here at my right, if you would, and your left. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? You just take it. You receive it. And you say, I'm going to take it from God. I'm going to take the gift that He's going to give me. And that's what I want to do, is take that gift. I want to receive it. Christ paid for my sin debt. Best I know how, I'm going to receive it. Let these messages represent our sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. I'm going to take your sin, and I'm going to be in Christ. You know, we all make mistakes. I had a mistake in my title this morning. I have mistakes quite often. We make mistakes, don't we? But that's okay, because we're human. We do make mistakes. We all make mistakes. To go to heaven, though, you can't have any mistakes except Christ, who never made a mistake, never had a sin. He paid our sin debt, and God now looks upon you and me through Christ as being as righteous as Christ. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? The greatest news in all the world, that's what He did, and that's why He loves us.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Dr. Scudder. For more information about our ministry or to order additional resources, please visit our website, www.victoryingrace.org, or call 1-800-78-GRACE.